Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Shankaracharya, Shankaracharya is not at fault, for it is under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he has covered the real purpose of the Vedas. Now the purport is more than 3 pages long. So if we read the purport, then we will not be able to have any class. So I think what we can do is next weekend, somebody, whoever gives the class can read the purport, because there's much to discuss in the purport. Every paragraph is loaded with so much. So it's not possible to do justice. And today is the first day of the Julan Yatra. So Shruti Dharma Prabhu asked me to speak something about building up to the Julan Yatra. And actually what I'm going to do is to try to build the foundation for some nectar tomorrow from His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj. Because he gives 4-day kathas and Julan Yatra in Mayapur. So he doesn't have 4 days, but at least whatever time he has, we can build up something for that. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in these verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have been hearing a lot of deep philosophical topics. And essentially, the subject is Vedanta. The Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi are aggrieved that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he is a sannyasi of the Bharati Sampradaya, which is one of the Mayavadi Sampradayas, is engaging in what they think is an activity unbecoming of a sannyasi, not befitting a sannyasi, especially of the Mayavad order. Their conception is that a sannyasi should be always very grave, he should study the Vedanta, should perform austerities. And instead of that, here is this sannyasi who has become so sentimental, and he dances and chants with the common populace on the streets. So this was not something good for the sannyas order. That was what they felt. So somehow or other a meeting was arranged between them and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the good offices of one devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So a discussion ensued. And they asked him about why he was doing such a thing, and Mahaprabhu gave a beautiful explanation. And then he spoke about the Vedanta. Eventually, the Mayavadi sannyasis were so captivated by Mahaprabhu's explanations and his demeanor, which was so humble and devotional, that they all became his followers. And they all wanted to know more from Mahaprabhu about the Vedanta. Then Mahaprabhu began explaining how Shankaracharya's explanation of the Vedanta, which is called the Sharirakha Bhashya, that's the name of his commentary. That was not actually the true commentary. It was done for a purpose. In this commentary, Shankaracharya has not spoken about the real direct meaning of the Vedanta, Mukhya Artha. Mukhya means chief or primary. Artha means meaning. Instead of talking about the direct meaning, Mukhya Artha, Abhidha Vritti, he has spoken about the Gauna Artha, the secondary meaning, or the Kalpana Artha, which means the imaginary meaning. It's called Lakshana Vritti. And therefore, the original meaning of the Vedanta, which is as clear as daylight, has been covered by the clouds of false explanations. So eventually, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to point out, and he's building up his case, so to speak, is that Vedanta ultimately means that we have to become pure devotees of Krishna. So Vedanta is, truly speaking, Krishna consciousness. Ved means knowledge, the books of the Veda, the knowledge of the Veda. Anta means the conclusion. So Vedanta means the ultimate conclusion of all knowledge. And that is Jhulan Yatra. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and Krishna and all his associates in the spiritual world, those loving exchanges between the devotees and Krishna, that is actually the culmination of all knowledge. Because knowledge must culminate in devotion, otherwise it is futile. So Krishna consciousness is not a sentimental process, although there is a lot of devotional sentiment involved. There is a huge philosophical foundation to it. But ultimately, we have to come to the point of devotion. And what happens when we become pure devotees? Eventually, when we are transferred to the spiritual world, we will be able to engage in many wonderful loving pastimes with Krishna and his dear loving associates. Just like it happens in the Jhulan Yatra festival. This is the perfection of life and the perfection of all knowledge. So truly speaking, this is Vedanta. What a far cry from the Mayavadi's presentation of Vedanta, where there is so much of abstract word jugglery and nobody really knows what's being discussed. The more difficult it is, the more incomprehensible it is, the more advanced and correct it is presented to be. So the Jhulan Yatra is one of those wonderful festivals celebrated in many, many places, holy places like Vrindavan in Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, which actually brings out what is happening in the spiritual world. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada speaks about how Krishna's only business is enjoying. He does nothing but enjoy. That is the only business, so to speak, of Krishna. In the material world, Srila Prabhupada explains, we all have to work very hard for a livelihood. Or even for maintaining the body, we have to work extremely hard. In the Hitupadesha, I think it is mentioned that there is no recourse, we have no option but to work hard. The Udhyamena hi Siddhyanti Karyani na Manorathaihi Nahi Suptasya Simhasya Mukhe Pravishanti Mrigaha. Nothing happens in this world without hard work. Simply by imagining or desiring something, things don't happen. Just as even the king of the forest, the lion, he can't simply sit in the jungle with his mouth open, waiting for food to come, thinking that I am the king of the forest and therefore food must come into my mouth. Even he has to struggle so hard. So the material world is full of struggle. Everyone has to struggle, from the ant to the king to the demigods. Even Brahma has to struggle. But the spiritual world is not like that, Prabhupada explains. In the spiritual world, there is only enjoyment. Goloka nivasati akhilatma bhuto. He says, quoting from the Brahma Samhita, that Krishna is residing in Goloka Vrindavan, forever engaging in loving pastimes with his devotees. Sometimes he goes out with the cowherd boys, frolics with them, plays with them, and they have many, many types of very attractive pastimes in which there is such familiarity exhibited between the devotees and Krishna that it is unimaginable for others. Even those who may be on the path of devotion in the mood of awe and reverence. The devotees in the path of Vaikuntha, where the Lord is worshipped with awe and reverence, cannot imagine such familiarity, where somebody climbs onto Krishna's shoulder, where somebody steals Krishna's prasadam, or somebody feeds Krishna. There are occasions when they will tease each other, and Krishna becomes the object of much ridicule and laughter. Now, can you imagine such a thing going on in Vaikuntha? In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we hear the story of Gopa Kumar, who is from Govardhan. He is a Brajavasi. So he is accustomed to the informal dealings of the Brajavasis have with Krishna. And anyway, in Braj, people talk like that. When they talk, you think they are fighting or quarreling with you, but actually they don't. They don't mean it like that. It's just that they talk like that. So Gopu Kumar, eventually, after going through many, many planets and Swarga, and eventually came to Vaikuntha. And in Vaikuntha, all the devotees were serving Lord Narayan with great awe and reverence. And Gopu Kumar was accustomed to the mood of Braja. So he saw Lord Narayan and said, "Hey, Govinda," and he went to embrace him. And everyone said, "Hush, hush, what are you doing? This is not to be done in Vaikuntha. This is Vaikuntha, you can't just go and embrace the Lord like this." So in Vaikuntha also, you can't imagine having such intimate pastimes. Can you, for example, imagine stealing Narasimhadeva's bhoga? Or climbing onto Narasimhadeva's shoulder or something like that? You can't even imagine such a thing. But in Goloka Vrindavan, the cowherd boys are very free. And there is no awe and reverence at all. Similarly, the gopis, they will rebuke Krishna. And for Krishna, the rebuke of the gopis is sweeter than the prayers that the demigods chant when they come to the shore of the milk ocean, the Purusha Sukta prayers. So anyway, Prabhupada is explaining that then he goes out with the cowherd boys, he dances Rasalila at night, and he engages in so many loving pastimes. And then he talks about the Bhauma Vrindavan Leela, that is the pastimes that Krishna performs when Vrindavan descends here into this world. He says, the residents of Vrindavan, they have complete faith in Krishna and confidence in him. Avashya, avashya rakshabe Krishna vishwasa palana. Now Krishna will surely protect me. Every day Kamsa would send asuras to come in. I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who says that every day before, at least Krishna wouldn't have lunch until he killed one or two asuras at least. So he would kill these asuras, and there was much anxiety for Krishna that I have to protect. And he was not anxious for himself. He was anxious for the cowherd boys and the gopis and so on. And Prabhupada says that the associates of Krishna had no anxiety. They knew Krishna will protect. The cowherd boys would go out into the forest and they were happy-go-lucky. They were jumping and dancing and frolicking and having fun. And Prabhupada says it is Krishna who was in anxiety, thinking now this asura is coming, my poor cowherd boys, they will be in so much difficulty. So Prabhupada says, as Krishna has to take the anxiety and the coward boys are all free from all anxiety. So he says how Krishna's pastimes go on like this in the spiritual world. Full of beauty, full of love, full of affection. So similarly, the pastimes with the gopis also take place in such an intimate mood. The Jhulan Yatra or the Jhulan, the swing festivals, the swing pastimes are among the more prominent of Krishna's loving pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan. Even today, the Jhulan Yatra is celebrated widely. In Vrindavan, in some places it is celebrated for 13 days, in some places for 7 days, some places 4 days, some places only 1 day. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to celebrate it for 5 days. So therefore in ISKCON we celebrate it from today, that is Ekadashi, all the way up to the Balaram Purnima. That's about 5 days. So we celebrate it here according to Srila Prabhupada's desire. And he wanted us to have a grand celebration where the deities would be decorated and the deities would be put out on the swing, the Utsav Murti. And then devotees would come and swing the swing so that Radha and Krishna can have a very nice time there. So, of course, in other places also, in Jagannath Puri, Madan Mohan, who is the Utsav Murti of Jagannath, is brought out and there is a Jhulan done there. And in Vrindavan, it is still a culture that maybe is changing now, but at least till some time ago it was a culture in Vrindavan and many other parts of India too, that a married lady would go to her parents' home during the Jhulan time, so that she could participate in the festivities in her mother's place rather than in her husband's home. So it so happened that in Vraj, Radharani had to go to her parents' place. As you know, Radharani was married, so-called married, to Abhimanyu. And which was the place of Abhimanyu? Anyone knows, remembers the name? Which was the village? Yavat. It was Yavat. So she would stay in Yavat with Abhimanyu. Of course, many, many pastimes would happen there on the sly. She would slip away and associate with Krishna. But Jatila and Kutila, mother-in-law and sister-in-law of Radharani, were keeping a hawk's eye on Radharani. So she never gets to move here and there. And still somehow Krishna would find some way to come in. So on this particular occasion, Radharani would sometimes be sent home by Jatila and Kutila, but sometimes she wouldn't. So this time also, this year, when the time came for the swing festival, so Radharani was in great anxiety. She really wanted to go to her parents' home for a few days. Because, number one, she was missing her parents. And number two, she wanted to associate freely with Krishna, which is something that was not possible here in Yavat. So long as Kutila, Jatila and people of her ilk were there. So then this time nobody came. So she was crying, thinking, why is nobody coming from my home? Have they all forgotten me? Have they all abandoned me? So she used to sit and look at the path that was leading from Yavat to Barsana. Because Barsana is the place where her father, mother, brother would stay. So she would sit and look towards that road, hoping that her brother Sridhama would come. And for some time Sridhama didn't come. So suddenly one person from Barsana came. this person saw Radharani crying. He said, what happened? He said, look, this year my family has abandoned me and no one is here. So he felt sorry for Radharani. So he went back and gave the news to King Vrishabhanu. Immediately King Vrishabhanu sent his son Sridhama. Sridham was the brother of Radharani. So he said, go and bring Radharani back immediately. So Sridhama came And Radharani saw him, and she was overjoyed to see her brother. And then Sridharma took permission from Jatila and Kutila. Vrishabhanu Maharaj was very intelligent. He understood the nature of Kutila and Jatila. He said, they're not going to let you go so easily. So he told Sridharma, take these wonderful gifts and you give it to Jatila. Then maybe she will give permission for Radharani to come away. So Sridharma carried lots of gifts and presents and so on. And he came. He came and sweetly asked Jatila, can you please send my sister to our home for a few days? It is the time of the swing festival. No. She cannot come because there's so much work to do now. See, everything is right. The crops are there. We have so much agricultural work to do. The cows have to be milked. Who is going to do all this work? Now, if your sister goes home, I'm an old lady. I can't do all these things anymore. No, please. Everyone wants. Please send her home. Now, I know she is going to associate with that black boy. So I don't want to send her home. No. We'll ensure that she will not associate. My father, mother, they will look after her. And then Sridharma remembered what his father had said, that you have to give some nice gifts to her. So he said, oh, by the way, yes, my father has sent many nice gifts for you. Then immediately Jatila's mood mellowed a little bit. Oh, some gifts, let's see, what is it? So then there were many wonderful gifts which Sridharma brought forward. And he gave it, presented it to Jatila and Kutila. Her eyes brightened with happiness. Yes, take her. You can go. So Radharani very happily moved on to Yavat to Barsana from Yavat. And she was sitting on the ox cart which Sridharma was riding. And then as they approached Barsana, and then she saw Barsana there, she started crying with happiness. So she came home, she met all her sakhis, her friends. Everybody was overjoyed to see Radharani. She met her parents and everything. So, and she started enjoying the swing festivals with her sakhis, with the gopis. And they would sit on the swing, and then they would swing, and the sakhis would swing Radharani. But something was missing. What was missing? Krishna wasn't there. So Radharani was thinking, oh, what to do now? But Krishna, you see, would come in disguise. Now, he would come in disguise anyway in Yavat. One time he came in disguise as her husband Abhimanyu. So when he came as Abhimanyu, then Jatila didn't think twice. And then he went inside with Radharani. And then the real Abhimanyu came. And this time Jatila caught him. He said, oh, you must be that black boy who has come in disguise. And she began beating her own son, thinking that he was the imposter Abhimanyu. In the meanwhile, of course, Krishna escaped. That's a long pastime, beautiful pastime. So anyway, Krishna is accustomed to changing his appearance to suit the pastimes. So he would also come in disguise sometimes. And this time, he came behind Radharani when she was sitting on the swing. And he began to push the swing. So Radharani was enjoying the swinging, but she was thinking of Krishna. So then Krishna, as you know, is always up to some mischief. So when she was sitting on the swing, he suddenly pushed the swing so hard that the swing began to move very hard, high in the air, and she became terrified. And when the swing was moving really high and with great speed, then in horror and fear, she cried out for Krishna, because that's the first thing she thinks about. So she cried out Krishna's name very loudly. And that's what Krishna was waiting for. Because now Radharani can't complain. How come you have come here? So promptly Krishna just seated himself on the swing. And Srimati Radharani was terrified. So in her fear, then she jumped on and clinged on to Krishna. So then Krishna became very happy. Normally if I were to do that, she would protest. But now it's on her own. So in this way, the pastimes went on, the swing pastimes would go on like this. And of course, time came for Radharani to go back to Yavat. So in this way, there are many variations of this pastime that happen in Braj. And the devotees like to celebrate these wonderful pastimes by getting the Utsamurtis out on the little swing. And then everybody takes turns to pull the swing. And then devotees chant various nice bhajans, Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan. And everybody remembers those sweet pastimes that go on in Vrindavan. So Krishna is so merciful. He gives us numerous opportunities throughout the year to remember Vrindavan, to remember the sweet pastimes that happen in Vrindavan and only in Vrindavan. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that Vrindavan is recreated, re-established. It again manifests even in London, in every temple or in any other temple of the world, where that pastime is enacted where the devotees lovingly swing Radha and Krishna. So tomorrow we are going to hear Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj describing Kavi Karnapur's narration of the swing pastimes. So we can all come tomorrow morning to hear these nectarian narrations. So we've crossed the time. It's time for breakfast now. So thank you very much. Shri Jhulan Yatra Mahotsav Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.